From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And welcome back to another edition of Locked On Chiefs. My name is Chris Clark. I'm the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. We really appreciate you listening, and we are going to talk about minicamp today.
There's a minicamp? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, imagine that. We actually get to talk about players actually being on the football field and kind of playing football.
Wow. Running routes, dropping in the zones, whole nine yards. It's a whole new world. Hey, I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host at RGR Football over on YouTube. Check that out in the show notes. But we have a bunch of things to talk about. They kicked it off and kind of followed up on what they'd done in OTAs.
Yeah, and there was a couple of injuries that we will have to deal with. But all in all, Kansas City was mostly healthy for this, and it sounded like they had a lot of good work that went that they got done.
Yeah, a lot of good work. And we're going to talk about Pat Mahomes here later, folks. So just hold your horses for that. Make sure you listen to the end of the show because that's where we're going to get to Mahomes. But I want to hit a couple of right off the bat that were kind of partials. And one I'm encouraged by and one I'm not really encouraged by. And both of them participated
I know who you're not encouraged by.
Oh, really? I'm guessing you probably would, but both of them participated in individual drills, and that's great. You know, get your footwork, get your foot speed, you know, do the ladders, do the whole nine yards. But neither could participate in team drills. And that's kind of at this point in the season when you're trying to acclimate a new quarterback and trying to acclimate to a new defensive front. That's important on both sides of the ball. And both Spencer Ware and Dee Ford were not able to go in team activities.
I think it's – I understand, and I'm not upset, or I'm not worried about Spencer Ware not being able to go on team activities. His injury was late enough, was early enough in the season, but it is a full year to recover, so that one doesn't worry me. Reed even said that I believe they expect him back in full for training camp. So if that happens, he's ahead of schedule, in my opinion. The other one, yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah, and that's, man. I thought they were laying low during OTAs. I thought we'd see him, and who knows? Maybe we'll see him Wednesday out there at minicamp. But, yeah, he's a veteran. Yeah, he has experience. But don't wait until camp. Don't be so cautious that you don't get him any reps before that. And that's what I'm hoping is going on here, because if he's truly not able to participate in team drills in shells – in June, then I'm not so optimistic about what Dee Ford's going to be able to do in August.
Completely agree. It's really hard to count on him at all if they are not just being overly cautious, which honestly, we have no way of knowing. The team is obviously not going to tell us, so it's rough. I don't know what to think on that.
Don't get me wrong, a back injury of any kind, whether it's a disc, whether it's a muscle strain, whatever it is, that's difficult to recover from. But we're going on a good 8 months at this point.
Yep.
So if it's not structural and it hasn't had to be repaired or rebuilt surgically, either there's something grossly wrong or there's something going on with the rehab, with the either the protocol or the progress. And I can't say that there's blame anywhere around. It is what it is. A back is something that, you know, 90% of people listening to this have had some issue with their back someday. Imagine trying to be an elite athlete while going through that. And you can understand that it's tough. But again, this is an $8 million athlete who at this point doesn't look like he's going to be ready for camp.
Well, and not just ready for camp. I don't know, with the rate that they're taking him, I'm not sure he's going to be ready for the season. And that's the really concerning part, because you have this thought process that Brilliant Speaks is going to be able to learn behind Dee Ford. I don't know that that's going to be the situation at this point.
Well, and that's what it turns to, is it learning from or behind Dee Ford, or is it getting those reps in his place, playing across from Justin Houston, playing probably ahead of Tano Passanio. Although I have to say, Tano looks good. He looks trim. I didn't think he had any body fat to lose, but he looks thinner. He looks faster from everything that I see in terms of, and I haven't seen any moving pictures, just still shots. But Tano looks like he's a guy that looks more like an outside linebacker than a DN than he did last year.
Well, but part of that is, I think, him changing his body, knowing he's going to be playing outside linebacker. I think this time last year, they thought he was going to play more defensive end, or at least defensive line. But with his movement ability, they're obviously going a different direction. And I think that could be a really good thing, but it also kind of got them started on the whole Breland Speaks thing. And what I mean by that is, it looks to me that they're trying to really go a lot bigger on the outside to maybe, negate what they have to do, with your defensive lineman at that point.
Yeah. And the rotation is going to be really interesting along the defensive line. And that's, I think, partially what's going to dictate whether you're trying to get a couple of downs out of Breland Speaks as an interior rusher, or whether you're really trying to leave him out on the edge. That in combination, although it's been very positive for me to see that Alan Bailey's out there and taking reps, and he's looks to be recovered. That and you got Naughty, and you got Xavier Williams, and you got Chris Jones. You know, I think that's all positive signs moving forward.
Real quick, and I don't want to spend much time on this, but I have to ask a question. How much of an issue for you is it that Naughty hasn't signed a contract?
None.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of room. It's got to be offset structure that they're talking about, or it's got to be some minute detail that when push comes to shove and it's time for camp, it's going to get signed. I'm not too worried about it at all.
No, and I agree. I just thought I would throw it out there since he's the only one that hasn't signed.
Yeah, and it's funny for a guy in that position that's, you know, kind of a blue-collar guy that's in a blue-collar position that, you know, is not a top first-round pick, you know, that kind of thing, to have this kind of stretch on is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's anything to be concerned about.
I hope you were correct.
Well, let's just go with me being right.
No, I can't just go with that. I know better than that.
Well, you know, and folks have been asking about some talk about the defensive line, and that's fine. We can continue that. And that's really the question. It's a matter of rotation, and it's a matter of who can play the three as well as the base. Because what you end up having, and I like this concept, because you can go from what could be a, you know, if they were playing a 4-3 base, you know, kind of an under look with two interior guys in Williams and Naughty that are built to stop the run. If you want to play an under look and play that, it sets you up against the run to be in a positive position. And that seems to be a theme that they've been going through most of the season. But it also tells you that they can swap those guys out. Chris Jones, Alan Bailey. I think both of those guys, you can see penetration. I expect to see some Chris Jones and Breland Speaks inside as tackles. I think that's an interesting combination. And we've definitely seen Chris Jones in the end of OTAs as well as the first day of minicamp rushing from the outside as a five technique, a seven technique way out wide.
Yeah, and I do think it uses him. I think it uses all of his abilities best to get him in, and not necessarily get him in space, but get him to where he's not going to be specifically lined up in a specific position. Because if you make it to where the defense is going to know where one of your best players is, it makes you more predictable. Him being able to do so many different things, I think it's a fantastic decision for them to really try to move him around and get him used to moving all around on the defensive line.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see, because that is the thing that gives them the most advantage in keeping teams, especially within the division, off balance and not knowing what they're going to do with the rookie. You know, there's a lot of pump up about what's been going on in Denver with Bradley Chubb. And yes, he's a versatile guy as well, but Breland Speaks is as well. And keeping offenses off balance in terms of what they think they're going to see is a big key for what the Chiefs have to do in 2018.
Nope, I do agree with that. I do completely agree with that. It's kind of worrisome to hear what we have heard about Chubb in Denver. I think they got a really good player and really fell in John Elway's lap. I'm still of the opinion he's not the best GM, but it's hard to get that pick wrong.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and that's really going to be the question right there, whether they can deal with him or not. And it's going to be an interesting duality to see both teams trying to make the most of what they can do with their young players. But We have other things to talk about. Let's take a quick second and we'll come back and we will hit on some of the other developments in the first day of minicamp. Now, before we get to the quarterback, what else stood out to you about the beginning of minicamp?
Well, it sounds like the play of Chris Conley is really catching people's attention, which is a good sign. I'm very happy to hear that he's doing well. You know, the safeties, there are a couple of safeties, young safeties, they got interceptions, which I think is a big thing. So that's good for them. It's going to be entertaining to watch and see how that group progresses over the next couple of years, because they could be a very young group. There are people with talent on that group, but the question is, you know, and we've talked about this, you know, is it possible that Daniel Sorensen won't be here? It's possible. Well, if Daniel Sorensen is gone, you have the elder statesman in Eric Berry, and then you have a whole bunch of young guys.
Yeah. And you know, there's pluses and minuses. And from everything that we've seen to this point is that Sorensen's running with the ones and he's playing decent. Haven't heard a whole lot about Dorian O'Daniels. So that's kind of – I see those guys as the same type role. So that's a fair point. And I'm encouraged by Armani Watts being one of the guys that got a pick today. But that's kind of expected from where he was drafted, from the ability that we've seen for his penchant for turnovers and pass breakups. But the guy that's really standing out to me, and he has been all offseason, is Jordan Stearns, an undrafted rookie out of Oklahoma State that has been putting in work to learn this defense, to know where to be. And maybe he's not the athlete Watts is, or certainly that Murray is, or even Sorensen maybe, but he's a guy that plays instinctually, that learns well. And I think he's a long shot, but at this point, from what we've seen, you might have to put him in front of Leon McQuay, who was a draft pick, and look at him being possibly a guy that can weasel his way onto this 53-man roster.
Well, and I don't disagree with that, but what I will say about McQuay is it's really hard for me to worry about whether or not he's going to make this roster as a seventh-round pick. Because undrafted free agents make the roster all the time. If Jordan Stearns makes it, great. If he doesn't, you know, I'm not so sure McQuay makes the roster anyway.
And that's a fair point. And for a position that they need some help at.
No, you know? I agree. It's nothing against McQuay. I'm just saying with where he was drafted, it's not going to be a large surprise if he gets cut. I mean, he was cut last year. So, you know, you have the question, and you said the thing that's really going to be interesting is, you know, you have a guy in Dorian O'Daniel that doesn't really have a technical position.
Yeah. And that's being that tweener is kind of a tough role. As quirky as Bob Sutton likes to be. And, you know, versatility is something that's coveted by this coaching staff. That's a great thing, but breaking into a role is kind of difficult, especially when you have a veteran like Sorensen who knows what he's doing, despite being unable to actually do it. it's a troublesome thing. I just want to give a shout out too, because another guy that seemed to get his hands on the ball a lot in the first day of minicamp was my guy Ashton Lampkin, who's a long shot as a corner. But you know, honestly, beyond the top three corners, everything's kind of an open competition at this point.
Yeah, and really, that's kind of what you want. I mean, you want an open competition. You look at it, and the question is, how many are they going to keep? And it's hard to know. You know, Ashton Lampkin didn't get a chance last year, and I thought he may have had a chance to make the roster. But, you know, with the injury, maybe it was a blessing in disguise, because it would have been really hard for him to make the roster last year.
That's very true.
So we'll have to see this year what ends up happening with him. But, you know, you have – corners that are going to make it tough for them to do cuts this season, which is a good thing to have.
It is, but like you said earlier, it is all the same concept that it's all young guys, a very young roster. A couple of guys that are going to make this roster that haven't seen competition like the NFL at any level. I think Tremont Smith has a very good chance at making it as a corner. He will be down the depth chart because it really his strength right now is in special teams, but you're going to see Golden, who's a special teams guy, but has some experience, you know, in being an older guy. I think that gives him an edge, but those two in particular are guys that I think that could be pressed into service later in the season, that are going to have to get a handle on this defense real quick.
But isn't Golden the safety?
True. I'm just talking DBs in general.
Okay. I wanted to verify that I was correct in that. That's what I thought, but
Yeah, I think this might be a year that you end up seeing, you know, 10, maybe 11 DBs on this final 53.
That's a lot of DBs to carry, and I don't know where you're going to go short elsewhere.
I don't know either. You know, luckily, it's not my job.
Well, we can be very thankful for that because you'd have four blocking tight ends and two fullbacks. So, anyway, let's move on to the subject that everybody's wanting to hear about.
Well, why don't we take a quick break again, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. So I know you're chomping at the bit. So is everybody else. Tell me your impression.
Oh, I'm not chomping at the bit. I just know that people really want to hear about him. And, you know, I think it was a very positive thing from what we heard from BJ and from the different reports from camp. I think it was a very good positive for him to have a good day. Especially considering if you think about it, the OTA days that he has had people there, he hasn't really looked as good as you would hope. But it does sound like he's made a couple of plays today that, you know, have really turned some heads. And then you just, and then you still have guys like David Amerson who get interviewed and talk about the different plays that Mahomes has made and plays he's never seen before, which just encourages you and gets everybody excited again.
Yeah, so much for slowing down the hype train, right? And we'll talk about Dave Amerson tomorrow, folks. But for today, we're going to focus on Patrick. And I think, and I keep saying Patrick, although I need to call him Pat because that seems to be what his teammates are calling him. So I think the most encouraging thing that I took away from reports out of minicamp is that it's not just the wondrous, you know, connections on deep passes, that he was hitting receivers in stride at every level of the field. And I think that is what takes him a step farther towards being a complete quarterback quarter one, play one of his, what is for all intents and purposes, his rookie season.
I agree. And another encouraging sign, and we will get back to Patrick Mahomes in just a second, but Chad Henne from All Reports has had a good OTA session and had the best play of the day, according to BJ Kissel, with a deep pass to Darrell Williams, I believe.
Yeah, rookie Darrell Williams. And, you know, he is kind of one of my sleepers here to maybe unseat one of the veterans in terms of a roster spot at running back.
Yeah, and it's a loaded bunch, so it's really going to be a question as to who – whose place he could take, but I don't disagree with you. It does sound like they've really found something in him from all reports I've heard.
It's going to be interesting. And the good thing to know is, especially on a day, and, you know, we probably should have hit this at the top, but folks, it looks like Jamaal Charles is getting some attention at this point. He's trying out for the Saints, and I expect that he's going to get signed either there or a subsequent follow-up. But again, I think the only role that Jamaal Charles could play, and I know I took a lot of heat about this earlier, is that third down back kite type role. And I think Darrell Williams is also a guy who can do that for this team. And the question is, can he block well enough when he is asked to stay in and block to unseat Shakander Quest? And that's really the competition that I see at this point.
Well, Kerwin Williams, I think, might have something to say about that. But let's go ahead and go back to talking about the young QB and Pat Mahomes. It also sounded like he's getting rave reviews from his number one wide receiver in Tyreek Hill.
And that goes a long, long way. I mean, at this point, you can have the X's and O's. You can think you know what you're doing, but until you get on the field and you are working with your receivers to do site adjustments, to do the things that Andy Reid demands of you. And we got even more confirmation that Sammy Watkins gave us earlier as well, that he's working at all positions. So that's just another variable that you have to be on the same page. You have to make the same read, and it's up to the quarterback to deliver the ball.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I swear I remember when they interviewed Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Sammy Watkins, when they signed him, they were specifying that they weren't going to have him learning all the positions. I thought they were going to strictly make him a Z wide receiver for the first year.
An X, you're absolutely right.
Or an X, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're right.
You are absolutely right, though. Andy Reid said that in the press conference, and that was because it's such a complex offense to learn. But I am taking the fact that they're moving him around and that everyone has confirmed that he's moving around as a sign that Sammy is more adept at learning the offense than we originally thought. And given that he's not, you can call him a number one, but with Tyreek there, it's not really a legitimate number one. With this concept that Andy likes to do where you don't need a 1,000-yard receiver, and the Chiefs just happen to have two of them, so that's a plus. But
and if he can learn,
well, I'm counting Travis as one of them, but if you can work Sammy Watkins in there where he doesn't have to be the guy that's constantly doubled, I think if he can learn all three of these positions – so the three of them can move around, and I am counting Conley. I know some of my followers were asking me about rumors out of OTAs that some of the reporters were saying that DeMarcus Robinson's passed him on the depth chart, and I think that's kind of ridiculous. So while I haven't seen the snap counts, I'm going to tell you right now, if Chris Conley's ready to go physically, he will be the third receiver on this team.
Well, the other side of it is I don't think DeMarcus Robinson can touch Chris Conley when it comes to run blocking. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, you're 100%. I'm with you.
But, you know, Kansas City, this team would be in a very, very good situation if they could get as much out of Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson as they've gotten out of Chris Conley in the past couple of seasons. I mean, you look at what they're going to be dealing with this year and trying to figure out how to get Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins the ball. That is going to be something they're going to have to figure out. So the question is how are they going to handle that? But if they can get as much out of Chris Conley this season as they've got out of in the past couple seasons, they're going to be in business because Sammy Watkins is going to catch enough balls to get to 800 yards, I think, 700-800 yards.
Yeah, I agree.
In this offense.
And the biggest thing for me was that Mahomes came out and said, I have complete trust in Conley. And the one play on Tuesday that was reported that Pat did what he does and got out scrambling. I can't remember if he was rolling, which direction he was rolling, but another crossbody
rolling left, throwing right.
Ah, okay. But another of his patented crossbody throws, and it went to Chris Conley. And if you're going to take a chance on that kind of throw, you know, you're going to have confidence in the guy that you're throwing it to. And I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, and Chris Conley being able to practice the way he is right now is a good sign, I think, as well for Kansas City because I wasn't sure that he'd be able to practice this early.
Yeah, I think it's a very encouraging sign, and rumors of his demise have been very overrated, folks. So,
the real question with Conley is still going to be what happens after this season because you can't imagine that they're going to keep Conley and Hill and Watkins all together.
Yeah, one day at a time.
I would love it, but yeah, it's hard to see.
Yeah, that's fair. A bridge that we'll have to cross when we get to it, but we'll see how he makes it through camp, and hopefully the recovery continues, as does Eric Berry, so we've had no negative comments about it all. So I think we'll leave it there for today, folks. Thank you for listening. We will be back with you tomorrow. Make sure you check out RGR Football. We have some content coming. Matt Derrick's going to do some things from minicamp in preparation for what we're going to see later on in the summer at training camp. So keep it here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.